Good morning.
I'm Reverend Sean, for anybody who doesn't know it. I invite you to put your hard hats on because we're going in. Take a breath. Let's be still. Now that we have released what is not working for our thoughts right now, let's take on a new thought. The Christ in me is awake now. The superconscious mind in me is awake now. The good in me is awake now. All of these aspects of our divine selves are already here. We're just awakening them. Today, let's attach ourselves to the term, the superconscious mind in me is awake now. Those of you who care to, would you know that with me? The superconscious mind in me is awake now. It's mind in me that remembers God, that remembers the truth of my being, and remembers the truth of all beings. This mind in me that has not given up, but may have forgotten for a brief moment, takes this time right now to remember the superconscious mind in me is awake now. I let that memory of God form at my crown, and I let the memory flow through my mind, through my vision, through my hearing, through my voice and my word, through my every action, that this super consciousness may flow through me and extend from me into the world I see, so that I may see the world as God sees. In my awakened state, I see the world as God is, and therefore as God sees. God is love. God sees love. I see love. God is presence. God sees presence. I see presence. God is intelligence. God sees intelligence. I see intelligence. In my awakened state, I see what God is. Let's take that thought into the silence and be with it. In my awakened state, I see what God is. Let's go on in. In my awakened state, I see what is. I have released what isn't, and I see what is. So knowing this, let's start our journey back here. Back here to this sanctuary that we call unity. And as we come back, let us come back refreshed, renewed, and fully aware of the good that has just taken place, that we may say thank you and amen. I want you to see the seat you're sitting in. You're aware of it? You're in this seat. Would you bless the seat that you're sitting in? Now, what does it mean to bless? Just say, thank you, God, for this seat that I'm sitting in. Now, become aware of the seat next to you, whether there's someone in it or there's not someone in it, and bless that seat. Because you see, blessing is the power of multiplication. Any seat that is not yet filled, bless it. And declare, I am willing to share this precious gift we call Unity of New York with another individual who is looking to find that seat. You see, there's nothing wrong with the empty seats. There's just the people who don't know they exist yet. And it's going to take us to become aware, to invite those, to fill them up. But it starts with the seat we're in, to bless the full seats, the excited seats, the seats that know what you're going to get today and what you've gotten for so many previous Sundays. And that's prosperity. And that's the act of prosperity and the doing of prosperity. Prosperity doesn't just happen. It is. But it's through our willingness that we begin to see it in full physical manifestation. Now, today's talk is called The Hidden Treasure. And it's based on one of the parables of our friend Jesus. And I know Carlos last week, he talked about, I've gone blank on which parable it was. I watched it, I listened to it. The Good Samaritan, thank you. I'm talking about that one next week up in Connecticut. But this isn't about Jesus, and that's what I want to be very clear on. We're not here. I wanted something that would make the services cohesive between Carlos, Britt, and myself, since we are the three that will be speaking every month with a guest speaker on the fourth and possibly fifth Sundays. But what could be cohesive? And I thought, let's do the parables. Let's us three guys go through the parables, not so that we can worship a person, but because they're very practical teachings. And I know there's some people who say, oh, not Jesus. Not Jesus. Oh, come on, man. I'm Jewish. Jesus stuff doesn't apply to me. And yet you're at Unity. And there's other, you know, if I said this was a parable by Wayne Dyer, some of you would be leaning forward in your seats. Ooh. Well, you know, the Begats by Eckhart Tolle. Ooh. I know. If Michael Beckwith scampered across this stage, ooh, with a poster that said, Jesus, Jesus, then you'd be listening. We're not here to worship Jesus. Jesus, the last thing Jesus needs is for me to worship him. He couldn't care less if I worshiped him ever. But he had some great teachings. Had some phenomenal teachings. And I think they're cohesive to a lot of our childhood memories, some in a positive light, some in a not-so-positive light. And those of you who have the not-so-positive light, put the prejudices aside and just listen to the teaching because they're pretty phenomenal. And this one about the hidden treasure, that well, that's about a guy who's driving along, and you know, in the biblical times, and he sees this treasure in a field. There's nobody around, so he goes and digs a hole and hides the treasure till he can go raise the money to buy the field. Oh. And so he goes and he sells all that he had so that he can go back and get the treasure. Well, that's logical, isn't it? I'm not going to tell. It's like if you were buying land and you knew there was a whole lot of valuable stuff underneath the land, are you going to tell the owner who doesn't know about the treasure underneath. But again, this is metaphysics. And this is parable and allegory. So we have to look at it a little bit differently. And I need to look at my page for a second here, because I want to make sure I have a lot of clarity here too. There we go. What this is, I go a little blank sometimes because I do, and quite frankly, I can't apologize for it anymore. It's just gotten to be the way that it is. There's a lot to remember. Do you know how many passwords I have to remember? Yeah. That's why Google is our friend. And copy and paste. So anyway, what this is about today is really the kingdom of heaven. That's what the treasure is about, is the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven is clearly not a place we're going to later on when we leave this body. The kingdom of heaven is hopefully a place I'm going to when? Now. When will I get there? Now. I promise you that anything that happens, it'll happen now. Ever, it will happen now. When you get there, it'll be now. Try to prove me wrong. When has it ever happened before? Now. It was always, at the sound of the tone, the time will be now. And so to pay attention to that, so because it hurts our feelings a little bit and our guts a little bit to be, oh, when am I going to get there? Because I think we forget. We think it'll be then, but no, it'll be now. When? Thank you. And so to look at that, I want to read this so I get the right words here. The kingdom of heaven interpreted metaphysically, it's a state of consciousness in which mind, soul, and body are in harmony with divine mind. There we go. It's a state of consciousness in which mind, soul, and body are in harmony with divine mind. How does one respond when he discovers the kingdom? In another parable, Jesus gave us the answer. It's called that parable of the hidden treasure. A man finds a treasure hidden in a field. He realizes that he has something of tremendous value. But the field does not belong to him. Why does the field not belong to him, would you think, metaphysically? Well, I'll tell you, since none of you are jumping. What, Scott? He hasn't claimed it. He has not yet claimed it. And so he decides to hide the treasure so he can go sell everything. And I've told you that before. There are some things we should keep in mind about this parable. And this was the part that really struck a chord with me, is that finding the kingdom of heaven doesn't mean that one automatically enters into it. We can know about this kingdom. Some of us have studied it since we were little children. We were told about it in our various churches. Some of it was drummed into us. It was used as a threat against us. Various things. Nevertheless, most of us have heard about the kingdom of heaven. Many of us were taught it's a place you're going to get to or not get to when you die. But it was a way to keep us in line, rather than as a glorious promise for when? Yeah. Ding, 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 you're good. So I learned about the kingdom of heaven really when I came to Unity. That's when it really was taught to me as something accessible, something delightful, something desirable, and I didn't have to somehow make my whole past disappear to enter into it. And nor was there an old God searching for ways to keep me out of it. You know, the policeman God, the Santa Claus God, that's, you know, looking for how you're not getting anything for Christmas. You know, you're not getting into kingdom, you're not going to heaven if you don't do that. Well, who needs that? As I've said here before, if you have the kind of God that would send you to hell. Get a new God. Really, we're making up anyway. I really offended somebody with that one when I sent out a Hey Unity. I got a letter about that. But we are. We're making up the God of our understanding. And to try to deny that, oh, no, God is this. What do you mean God is this? Who says? Well, my mother and my priest and my this and my that. Exactly. And who told them? And who told them? And who told them? But how come somebody told me something different? If there were only one understanding of God, yes, we do say there's only one power and one presence, but if there were only one understanding, we would all understand it the same way. And that's how we can know. And so I say, we made up the word, first of all. Human beings made up the word God, because I had searched. I looked all over the place. Where did the word God come from that signified intelligence, life, omnipresence, omniscience? And I Googled God. I asked different, and everywhere I got, God is love and God is this, but that doesn't tell me where the word came from. Finally, I went to some channeler here in New York. I said, what's the history of the word God? Where did it come from? And he said it was taught in ancient mystery schools as a vibration. That was logical to me because all words are a vibration that means something to us. Now, it's a meaning we give, perhaps based on either limited or expanded understanding, but nevertheless, all words, if I say the word Sean, that has a vibration that for some of you will mean something lovely. But if you have somebody in your life, could be me, that does not care for a Sean, you're going to have a different vibration with it. It's going to ring differently to you. If I say Jesus to some, it's like, and another one's, man. You know, if you say snow, woohoo, others, no, I'm not going to be able to leave my house. So you see, all words have this vibrational thing. But God also means different things. But originally, it came out of these ancient mystery schools, and it really came from whatever was before Germany. But it was that guttural thing, and it meant good. It was good, and it was it was a vibration of good, good, that this is good, that whatever it is, it's good. And Connecticut, every week, we vibrate the word God. You know, the Easterners, they vibrate the word Om. But in my church, and this is now my church too, so we're going to vibrate. How about that? And all we do is we take our wonderful word, God. Remember, we have endowed God not with, but as omnipresence, all the presence there is, omniscience, as intelligence itself, as omnipotence, as power itself, as love itself, as wisdom itself. And so to vibrate that, I encourage you to take that G-O-D and let it vibrate through every cell, every tissue, every fiber of your being, from head to toe and toe to head. And all we do, don't worry about how well you sing it, doesn't matter. We're just going to do this a cappella, and it goes a little like this. Please join me. God. Oh, how nice. Now I want the rest of you to join in. And those of you who already did it, open your mouths wide and lift the vibration up. Here we go. God. Oh, I'm hearing some harmony. Beautiful. Now, one more time, and I don't want to be able to hear myself on this. That is so beautiful up here, what I hear, the harmony that is feeding back to me, the harmony that so many were willing to play along and vibrate to a higher level. We have no idea what will come from doing that, but I know for some of you, 6 hours from now, you're going to know how to handle things that normally would confuse you, that might bring up anger. Instead, you'll know exactly what to think and exactly what to do with it. Now, in this hidden treasure, I just want to point this out to you. The field in which man's greatest treasure is hidden is it's the mind and the heart. That's what that field is. And so we take a lot of this information and we bury it in the mind and we bury it in the heart. But we can't quite buy it yet. And this man had to go sell all that he had in order to own his mind and his heart. Well, what can you sell that would open you up to your mind and your heart? Yeah, your lack. You'll have to sell your lack. You'll have to release and let go that which is not abundance, that which is not divine intelligence, that which is, you'll have to sell your faith and fear. And there's plenty of buyers. It's okay. You'll have to release everything you think that would not bring you joy in order to have joy. I was talking to a friend this week, and he was saying he just doesn't yet trust God. And I listened to him, and I thought, I do trust God. But frequently I forget to. Frequently I forget and I think, I've got it from here, thank you. And even though there is nothing there that I'm saying it to, I've got it from here, thank you. And I can look within, instead of the big man in the sky, I've got this tiny little one with a white beard that lives inside me. But to think somehow, omnipresence, spiritual principle, divine love, I've got it from here. I can handle it. Oh, those are some of the most dangerous words ever. I can handle it. And so to look at it and say, but no, I want my hidden treasure to be exposed. I want my hidden treasure to be in the front of the shelf so that it is no longer hidden. And then it will just be called treasure, won't it? Will no longer be called hidden treasure. It'll just be called treasure. My health, my harmony, my well-being. Stacy just saying, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. And where is it? It's in this very room. Love is in this very room. Omnipresence is in this very room. Omniscience is in this very room. Omnipresence, they're all in this very room. Every aspect that we could imagine God is in this very room. And wherever I am, God is. So it's in this room, and it's in this room, and it's in this room, and it's in this room. Wherever I am, God is. So the hidden treasure, the only one that hid it is me. I hid my treasure. I don't have to worry about who else is hiding theirs. In fact, it's not recommended to worry about who else is hiding theirs. It's encouraged not to worry because you're just digging yours down deeper into the field. If I think they really need to hear this, I wish they went to Unity. I wish he or she went to Unity. I wish, well, I'll tell you, if you want them to go to Unity, you need to become the beacon of light of Unity. You need to become the practitioner of Unity principles, of truth principles, of spiritual new thought principles. I'm going to put a little plug in here, but it's for a good reason. I start a class on Tuesday, and it's based on the four spiritual laws of prosperity, written by Edwin Gaines. We're going to do 2 6-week sessions on the four spiritual laws of prosperity. And the first law is tithing, of all things. I'm not going to do a big talk on tithing here. Come to the class. Except tithing is giving 10% of your treasure to where you are spiritually fed. Tithing is the forgiveness of money. That's what I learned through my practice. and we will work on it each week. We're going to work on all four laws each week. The second law is forgiveness. To give way for a new thought about everything. Is there anyone here who has experienced forgiveness in your life, didn't get better? Oh, I'm so relieved. I saw a couple of hands go up to scratch, and I thought, oh, mine got much worse after I forgave everybody. I thought, what? We need to talk after the service. By giving way for a new thought, suddenly I'm free. I'm free to express. I'm free to experience. I'm free for health. I'm free for wealth. I'm free for harmony. The third law is setting goals. And setting goals is about looking at possibility, looking at hope, and looking where your faith currently sits, in which direction it is. Because we certainly are not going to get more faith, but we can learn to direct it to the channels in which we wish to experience. And finally, finding your purpose. And a lot of people in unity come out, I just don't know what I'm supposed to do. That's not unity. That's the world around. I just don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know what my purpose is. Well, on Tuesdays, we're going to look into prayer. And we're going to get an answer from the still small voice that tells us exactly what our purpose is. Is there anybody here today who wants something? Yeah. Yeah, imagine this. Lots of people want something. Raise your hands again, who all want something. Okay, Madeline, I'm going to talk to you. What do you want? Okay, what will that give you? So it's a sense of accomplishment you want. And the way you picture it is by finishing writing. Would you be willing to have the sense of accomplishment even if you didn't finish writing? Exactly. Exactly. And that's what makes this work so tedious. It's like, am I willing to give up my lack to have abundance? If you didn't hear her, I'll tell you. She wants to finish writing something because that will give her a sense of accomplishment. I said, would you be willing to have the accomplishment? Well, you heard what I said. And she said she'd have to think about it. And that's the thing. Oh, if I said you all, and I'm not promising, but if I said everybody here today could have $10 million, and all you have to do is forgive your parents and every president that has ever existed. I'd have a lot of $10 million still left in my pocket. Or there'd be a lot of liars in the room. But it's like, oh, if I said you could, maybe some of you already have this, but those of you who are still looking, if I said you could have the love of your life, and it would include great, great conversation, great laughter, great fun, great dates, great other stuff, and all you would have to do is change the story of your past. You know, some of us aren't going to have one for a while if that's the trade-off. But if I told you could have a great relationship, you can still have your past, but maybe you could lighten up on it a little. You could shift it. What if I told you God's not holding out on you? God's not withholding your $10 million. God's not withholding your relationship. God's not withholding your joy or your peace or your love. And God does not need your guilt. Guilt is not redemption. God doesn't need any of that. I need to sacrifice my lack. I need to sacrifice any story I have that says this shouldn't have happened. It happened. if I'm going to wait around for it not to have happened, I've got a long wait. But I've got a much shorter wait if I can just admit it didn't happen the way I think it happened. It may have happened the way I felt it happened. It did not. As God is for us and nothing is against us, it happened. I felt this way. I continue to think about it this way. But now I have an opportunity to change, and there's $10 million waiting for me somewhere if I do. Or whatever is waiting for me. And when will I get it? Thank you. And so I encourage every one of us here today, place aside our prejudices in our spirituality, because they're no longer of any use to us. To place aside our conviction that our story is real and true. Place it aside. Not necessary. To let our parents go, to go enjoy wherever they are, whether they're still in this plane or another plane. They're not going to fix your childhood. And you will not find joy. I will not find joy by waiting for them to. I'm not going to tell you they did the best that they could. That's not one of my favorite sayings. I feel it's making lemonade out of tired old lemons. But I do feel and believe with all my being, that by setting that story free, by no longer needing the past to be different, I can be set free into the promises of God, into the promises of spirit, the promises of principle, the promises of love, the promises of life, the promises of well-being. I can be set free with a new thought that frees the hidden treasure. And so each of us today, including me, I say thank you for unhiding the treasure. I am so glad I was willing to reveal the treasure. I am so glad I am willing to reveal the treasure. Could we say that together? I am so glad I am willing to reveal the treasure. Let's say it again. I am so glad I am willing to reveal the treasure. One more time. I am so glad that I am willing to reveal the treasure. And so it is.